cliffcentral.com.
You see, Sia, you must poo-poo the Rolling Stones. It's only one of the greatest bands of all time, ever.
Okay.
Now, you know, when I sing Paint It Black, you know where it comes from.
I'll try to make references like that and be cool as well.
Yeah, people like it when you do that. It's kind of annoying if you have no idea what they're talking about, so that's why I thought I'd, you know, bring you up to speed.
Show me the way.
That's it. Okay. Is Isaiah there? Oh, fantastic. I've been really keen to talk to this guy. He is Isaiah Johnson. He is an amazing e-sport winner. This guy has got an incredible record. There's a documentary being made about his entire life as a gamer, growing up playing games, his e-sports team, and putting together the number one winning video game team. He'll be coming to Africa to help develop esports, and he just won a tournament in one of the newest fighting games, Street Fighter V. He is a massive celebrity in the gaming world, and today we get to talk to him too. Good morning, Isaiah. How are you, dude?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on. My legal name is actually called Triforce.
Oh, you've legally changed your name now?
Yes, I amended my name to Triforce, so everybody calls me Triforce now.
That is fantastic. That is cool as can be. Shit. Wow. All right, man. Listen, I mean, you are...
Thanks for having me on.
Sure, you're probably the biggest celebrity I've ever spoken to. I mean, I met lots of people who are in the movies and who are in music, but I mean, gaming is bigger than both of those.
Well, that part is true. Gaming does dwarf both of those in comparison. Yeah, it's taken off in a lot of places, especially the whole competitive gaming aspect. Its history, it goes all the way back into like 1981. This is when like Walter Day founded the whole competitive gaming scene, which then the community, you know, adopted it and made it bigger than what it was. This is when it was in its evolutionary stages to where we are now, where the industry is getting involved and pretty much industrializing, commercializing it, where it's at the same, you know, level and platform that sports like world football or basketball or baseball is on.
Now, the amazing thing about being a gamer is that you actually attract a huge number of spectators. I mean, if you're playing like you do and at your level, people all over the world log on to watch you doing this, and they're actually in Korea. They can fill a stadium of people just watching people playing games.
Yeah, that actually happened here in the United States. The LA Convention Center was filled for League of Legends. They actually filled up the Madison Square Garden. It was Madison Square Garden that they filled up for League of Legends as well. They're building a stadium out in an actual esports dedicated stadium in China. Video games, competitive gaming has just taken on its own life. It's just so massive now. So, you know, where it's going, that's going to be the new thing, technology and entertainment.
So how did you develop a love for this? Because how old are you now?
Well, I'm 38. I've been playing video games since I was 4 years old. So this is like the early 80s, 1980, 81.
That's
when I started playing video games.
Did you start with like a Sega console or any of those things? How did you begin?
Actually, I started out with like tabletop and like an arcade. And then my father actually took me. We were supposed to go home and he stopped in a grocery store in the Bronx. And he was talking to one of his friends and I wanted to go home because I wanted to watch cartoons. And he gave me four quarters. He's like, go play the game until I'm done. And, you know, I started playing Star Wars and someone complimented me because I had to set up like a crate and stand on it so I could play the Star Wars arcade machine. And the person complimented and said, "Yo, you're real good," but it was my first time playing video games. And that compliment went a long way and started liking video games and whatnot. Then we got an NES, we got a Master System. Then I went backwards, got a ColecoVision, Atari, and the rest. Then I went forward, Super Nintendo, Genesis. And then it was just, it went off from there. And when I used to hear about like the championships, the tournaments that they used to have online.
Yeah.
Not online at the time, but like on TV, like that's incredible. The first video game world championships and Twin Galaxies and how guys like the first professional gamer, Todd Rogers, was getting paid like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 for like testing video games and displaying them at CES, and this is like early 80s. You gotta think about this. This was happening back then. And I'm hearing, a lot of people have the concept that esports just recently started within the last 5 or 10 years, and it has evolved and it's been revolutionized in the last 5 or 10 years, but it didn't start back then. It started back 30 years ago. And I have like this little timeline, like from 1981 to 1990 is like the first age. That's the pioneering age. Or like to 2000, that's like the pioneering age. Then the evolutionary age was from 2000 to 2015. And now we're in the industrial esports revolution, where outside companies and publishers of the video game industry are now getting involved and investing millions of dollars into getting it up to commercial standards.
Amazing.
So those are like the three ages: bronze, silver, and gold.
So at any stage, did your parents ever accuse you of spending too much time playing games and saying, stop it now, you need to be productive with your life? Or was that never an issue for you?
Well, it's a different thing because we're immigrants from Jamaica. So when my parents brought me here, my father was always working.
Mm-hmm.
And because he drove taxi, and he wanted to keep us off the streets, because we used to always want to go out in the streets and hang out with our friends or go to the arcade. So buying a console keeps us home.
Right.
And so he'd be like, okay, if you do your homework, you get to play the Nintendo. And because we want to play the Nintendo, we do our homework. And then he get us to play video games. And there's a lot of things. It's not like today's age and gaming was a lot different. Back then, I used to play a lot of role-playing games. The Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, Faxanadu, and games like that. So I did a lot of reading, and my father actually would watch me play the games and read. He'd like read what's on the screen, and I would read it. So he felt that it kind of encouraged me to take on like those type of academics. So he was always supportive of it. It was used in a proper manner. You can't say that now, because like you got games like Grand Theft Auto and all those other games,
right,
which really doesn't do anything, but it was a different time back then, so it kind of helped with the kind of like, and this is assisting the parents. We were more interactive with the video games and things we could learn from it in terms of the stories and social issues. Yeah.
I mean, you had to also deal with some pretty tough stuff. I mean, your dad got really ill, you lost your mom. And I suppose in some way, being a really talented gamer and being able to pour yourself into that was also a really good escape from the harsh realities of kind of a tough life, right?
Yeah, well, playing video games, everyone has an outlet or a vice. and for me, I always wanted it when I was married, because I'm divorced, but when I was married, my wife didn't. We did a reality show for MTV. They named it after the organization called the Empire Acadia. And my wife was telling me at the time that, I can't be just sitting here playing video games all my life. I have to try to do something with it to kind of bring and put food on the table for our marriage and whatnot. And also help out the players who also helped me, rear the organization and bring it up to where it at. It was at. When my wife left me shortly after my mother, she succumbed to liver cancer. But I think the thing that pushed me the most is when she told my aunt that she was proud that, I've been in the Guinness Book of World Records, because I had my own like personal records like Super Mario Brothers, the arcade, and Tetris. She was proud that I was in it. So when she passed away, I kind of looked at it more like, my parents really sacrificed to bring me to this country to get a better opportunity at life, and this is what I'm good in. So I really want to pursue this. I always had an ambition to pursue competitive gaming. I was always about esports, but that I think was like the defining drive, like, we're going to go all the way. This is my life, and I've accepted it as being my life and so forth. So then I got the team into the Guinness Book of World Records as the most documented tournament-winning video game team in the world. We have won more video game tournaments than any other esports team in the world.
Wow.
We're at 2,100 and change.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations. Your records are incredible. Do you make good money now as a professional gamer?
Well, yes and no. Each team in esports, depending on the region and where you are, varies. It also depends on what genre of gaming you play. That also varies. For us, we're a community team. were like a hybrid. We came out of the community, mm-hmm. and we developed ourselves as an esports team. It's a lot different from today's esports teams, which are more they're just based on sponsors who have money, and they create the team based out of money. So this is a salary. We're going to pay for your flight. We're going to cover this. We're going to cover that. And your job is to represent this brand. And you know, or any of our sponsors, associates, affiliates, partners as a part of it. And then they are good. With us, we came in during an age where there were no sponsors. We had to sponsor, we had to self-finance ourselves.
Right.
And it's been harder for us to kind of break in. But now with the industrial esports revolution, there's a platform for us to be able to market our team, especially the accolades we've done in competitive gaming, which are now bringing more sponsors to us. So we're in a position now where we're making a lot more money now than we ever did back then, because back then there were no sponsors like that. So what you're seeing, and we're trying to get into the newer games like League of Legends, Hearthstone. We definitely play FIFA. Especially in Jamaica, and we want to get into some of the shooting games like Gears of War 4 and Halo and stuff like that. Because we play a lot of retro games and fighting games and stuff, and some of the puzzle games and stuff like that. That's like what a lot of people know us for, like the retro community and the fighting games. But we want to expand. So, and we've made enough money to, we had three gaming houses. Yes, we lost them, but we've made enough money to where we could pay $2,000 light bills per month.
Well, that's good. But I mean, you really want to be making huge amounts of money, because I have heard that there are people now in gaming who can really clean up financially. I mean, you guys could get massive sponsors and all kinds of things. And because we know so many people are interested in this, you attract huge audiences, right?
Yes. And one of the major focuses that we want to do is we want to go to underdeveloped or underrepresented regions in the world that don't really have a large platform for esports. And we believe that with our recognition and our accolades, if we went to these areas, we could help those areas develop quickly to get up to speed to what the current standard of esports is globally in the other different regions like North America, Europe, and the Asias. So that's why you're coming to Africa.
That's right. You're coming to Africa. So what's the plan there? You're going to come here and spread the word about esports. But when are you doing that?
That was going to be like spring going on summer. There's, believe it or not, Africa already has an esports league. Mm-hmm. I was listening to one of your show, Futurology.
Yes.
And one of the esports league representatives actually came on, and they were discussing their league. The actual league escapes my mind. I think it was like DLG or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That was the esports league that they have. I apologize if I misrepresented the name.
I wouldn't know to correct you.
Okay. We want to definitely come there with our team and kind of bring some type of international presence from the West over to the East in Africa and compete there. Not just for like marketing and promotional purposes. It's not necessarily because we want to come there and win and clean up more money. That would be great. But we really want to help develop the scene as a whole and kind of, you know, get Africa on a global recognition. People who compete in Africa already know about the competitive scene, but people outside of Africa do not know. And one of our initiatives is to let that be known. So this is why we're going to start a campaign in the end of spring going on summer to come out to Africa and compete. And we want to bring some of our world champions there so that we can help the scene.
Tell me, encourage some
of the players.
What's your home setup like for gaming? I mean, what kind of, do you have a whole room with just screens all around it? I'm picturing what it must look like in your house when you're gaming. I mean, what's the room like?
We have a place called the ARC, the Arcadian Resource Center. This is where all the members of Empire Arcadia go to, and we have like 9 different TV screens set up, like multiple systems from every age, from the Vectrex and the Intellivision all the way up to the PS4, the Xbox One.
Wow.
And the Nintendo Wii U. Not all the time we're completely like always playing competitively. Sometimes we want to go back and play some of the retro games and just play for casual purposes. But we're moving and getting a brand new ARC. We're trying to get a like a multi-floor arc because we want to get a League of Legends team going. And we want to dedicate one entire floor just to the League of Legends team. They all have their own rooms.
I want to see some pictures of this. When you built it, you send me pictures. I want to see what it looks like.
Oh, definitely. Well, here's the thing. We're building an arc in the Caribbean, in Jamaica. We definitely want to build an arc in Africa. And we want to build an arc in back in New York in the U.S. when we move to the new place. So we're going to have an arc in all three regions of the world so that we can have our teams going there. We want to definitely recruit players from Africa to represent Empire Acadia on the motherland. That's got to happen because we have teams in Jamaica. We have a FIFA team in Jamaica called the Silverbirds, like the best FIFA team in the entire Caribbean. We also have a Call of Duty team down there. We have a small little fighting game division. So we want to do. That's the expansion part. We want to be able to do that in Africa as well. So we'll definitely be looking to recruit when we get it to Africa.
Tryphos, for someone who knows very little about esports, help me understand how it's actually structured. I mean, do you have different divisions? Because as average players, you might prefer, you know, car games over, you know, guns, like battle games or something like
first
that.
First player shooting.
But as somebody who's playing first at the level shooting. That you're playing, do you have to be able to master every kind of game in the world, or do you specialize in a specific genre? How is this structured?
Well, I can't speak for the other teams, but I can say this about my team. My team, well, first of all, we named it Empire Arcadia. And in order to be an empire, you have to be versatile and diverse. You can't be linear. A lot of the other esports teams that have come and gone, or some that are still actually here, started out as these single genre teams that just focus on a particular genre. Well, I'm an old school guy, and when we went into arcades, we played everything. So I took that very same mentality and applied it to our team. Empire Arcadia is the esports organization and team, and within that team we have special divisions that focus on specific genres. So we tap into all of the genres. This is why we have so many wins. We don't relegate ourselves to one particular genre. So we have a FIFA division, we have a Call of Duty division, we're building a League of Legends division, we have a trading card division for like Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic the Gathering, and Hearthstone. We have a classic gaming division, we have a racing division, we have a puzzle division, we have a fighting game division, and that versatility allows us to expand and compete on multiple platforms simultaneously and bring in wins simultaneously and pretty much put us out there. We're one of the oldest esports teams that existed. Well, our team is like 14, 15 years old right now. I know SK Gaming is the oldest esports team alive now. EG is also one of them, and those guys are like in the 1990s. I think SK was 1997 and EG was 1999.
This is interesting because you could end up playing this until you're 100 years old and you could be this really old man and you could still be an amazing gamer, right?
You know what's so funny about that statement?
Yeah.
The first professional gamer in the world, his name is Todd Rogers.
Yeah.
He's on our team. And he's been playing since 1979, and he still plays today.
Hey, I hope he takes his vitamins.
Yeah, he has a world record for Guinness for the longest video game world record held. I think it's 34 years this year.
Unbelievable.
Called Dragster. He beat the computer's perfect time.
Well, listen, dude, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Let us know when you're in Africa, and come and visit us here in South Africa, and we'll get to talk to you face to face. Triforce.
Yes, thank you. And I'll definitely take you up on that offer. I'll keep in touch and I'll let you know when we're on our way over there.
Thank you, brother. There we go. That's Triforce Johnson. He's one of the world's most amazing gamers. He's just won a tournament in Street Fighter V. He is available to you on TriforceJohnson.com. That's his website. And he holds a Guinness World Record for wins in his team, the creator and manager of the team that he was talking about just a moment ago to us. And it sounds like an amazing world. I mean, this guy's a rock star, right?
Sounds like it.
I just started gaming at home. Mm-hmm. It is the hardest thing ever. I play online one of those shooting games. And you get put into like a ring with everyone else and it's like a death match. I last around about 4 or 5 seconds before I get killed. Oaks are so good. They're like snipers.
Yeah. No, they're amazing.
Yes,
and dude, these people are professional. Like, this is what they do for a living. Most of us, if we play games, I mean, I used to once be a gamer, but I used to play those games where you build cities and that kind of thing. So I never really did the shooter games.
Like Sims.
Or the racing games. Not even Sims, because that irritated me. It had people in it. I would design cities.
The justification is people
irritated you because it had people in it.
Yeah, I don't like people.
Yeah, I used to... I stopped playing games after, you know... I mean, I remember playing as a child, and this was back in the day where you still have those... You know, what did they call those
Sega.
Machines where you put it, the cartridge in?
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sega.
Sega, yes.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog. Remember him?
Yes, I
that
do.
Was awesome.
Super Mario.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that.
Old school. All right, listen, it's time for us to give someone a little prize from Colcacchio Pizzeria. We've selected a winner. With Easter approaching, Colcacchio Pizzeria wants you to know that Easter is on their minds, and they want to know what Easter means to you. To them, it means a day with a family, Easter eggs, the joy of children. You could tell us in a few words on social media what Easter means to you. Tag cliffcentral.com and Colcacchio Pizzeria. You could win a 350 Rand Colcacchio Pizzeria meal voucher. And the winner is about to be announced. We'll tell you who that is. Competition has been running on cliffcentral.com for the last couple of days. And we have a winner. Do you want to hear who it is, Mubs?
Yes, definitely.
All right, very good. I knew you would. And I had them called by Michael Flax just a moment ago. And they're on the phone. Let's go straight to them. Here is our winner for this morning, the person who answered that question. And we're going to let her tell you what the answer is. Her name is... Belinda! Hello, Belinda. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, and you?
I'm very, very well. So you are going to get this marvelous Colcacchio Pizzeria voucher. You're going to go with the family or friends or the boyfriend or the husband, or what's the story?
Wow, thank you so much. It's a family. I'll definitely be treating my husband and my two children, and we're looking forward to this.
Awesome. All right, so tell me what you said Easter means to you so that I can understand why you were the winner.
Okay, first of all, Easter is a very important religious celebration for us.
Okay.
It's all about Jesus dying on the cross.
Right.
And rising 3 days later, as the Bible foretold. And it's just a celebration of the new life and the forgiveness that this whole death and life brought.
All right.
So for me, yeah, it's just about the Father's incredible love for everybody.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's very special. And for you guys, it's also a special day for you to get together and have some really nice food at Colcacchio Pizzeria. Are you happy about that?
I'm very happy. Thank you so much.
Have you heard about the amazing pizzas and pastas and salads and all the rest that they've got there?
Yes, we've been to Colcacchio before, and we absolutely love their pizza. Their pastas are amazing as well.
All right. Well, there we go. You're our big winner for today. Thank you, Belinda, and congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Very nicely done. All right, honey. There you go. Hold on for us. We'll take down your details. And you are the winner,
Shine.
Isn't that nice? All right. You know who sent me an email yesterday? You know Rob. Rob, who lives with his parents in the Midlands.
Oh, Rob Nicolai.
Rob Nicolai, yes. Right. And he's got some opinions on what happened in Brussels yesterday in Belgium. Do you want to hear what he has to say?
Okay.
Let's go to Rob. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Morning, Gareth. How's it?
You all right today?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, very well, thanks. And you?
Yeah. I'm not complaining. So, Rob, I got an email from you about your thoughts on what happened in Belgium yesterday. Do you want to tell us what you thought about that?
Absolutely. It was an inevitable thing because there are millions of refugees there, and a very small percentage are smuggled in our ISIS terrorists. So I was just thinking, would a way to stop them not be to turn... Mm-hmm. Their belief system back on them and make them swear in front of an imam with their hand on the Quran that they will not attack anybody, handle any weapons or explosives, or risk lying to who they base their extremist beliefs on.
You think that would change things? That would make things better?
Well, it's worth a try because, I mean, it is a warped interpretation of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so surely it's positively Newtonian. If you turn it around on them and use it against them.
All right, so you just basically get them to swear on their own religious principles that they
Absolutely.
Won't commit these horrible crimes, and then we won't have any.
Yeah, they're based on the big assumption that they do this purely because of religious beliefs and because they want their lives to be better.
Uh-huh.
And so they believe that sacrificing themselves for the cause, that they've been brainwashed. But then surely they wouldn't do it if they think, gee, if I do this, I might go to hell because I can't last.
Well, Rob, I've got the Belgian ambassador on the line. He wants to talk to you. Do you want to hang on for him?
I'd be on it. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Is that Rob? Hello? Rob?
Hello, it's Rob here.
This is Belgian ambassador. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And you?
Good, Rob, I've got a very important job for you to do. I was listening to you coming up with suggestions for how we can make Belgium safer.
Yes. And I meant those, I need to try and help. I must admit, I'm no expert on
No, security. You're not an expert, but you've done well. This is a good idea.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I just wanted to try and help because I know it's a very difficult situation.
I want to make offer to you. Rob, I want you to be a special envoy for the Belgian people to all the imams at the various mosques around Belgium. Are you happy to take this job?
I would do it, but would I have to move to Belgium?
Yes, we will need you full time.
Okay, because I had a car accident a few years ago.
Robert, I was very excited here for you to come and sort this problem out. Now you're telling me you can't come?
Well, I can get on a plane, but can we talk about this face to face?
No, Rob, I'm enjoying hearing this conversation. Do you want to carry on talking to him, or are you feeling
please,
uncomfortable?
Yes, please.
All right, hang on.
Okay, Rob.
Yeah.
So you can't come here.
I could come there, but I need to finalize all the details and the planning and implementation.
No salary. We have no money for you. It would be purely humanitarian.
Oh, no.
Well, I can't afford to get there because I'm not working on my own. I can't go there. But is this for real?
Of course for real. Why do you think I'm on the line with you at the same time talking to you about this?
If you want me to go over there,
I'm not going to pay. You must do it out of goodness of your heart.
See, now that makes me think this is not real.
No, we've got very serious problems here. Do you think I can shell out a whole lot of money now to try and bring you here?
I'm not talking about a whole lot of money, but just living expenses, a place to stay. I can't afford to do that on my own, even.
But this is your idea.
Yeah, no, but.
But you need his help, Mr.
Yes.
Ambassador.
Sorry, Mr. Ambassador.
But I don't see why. It is just an idea that I thought could easily be adapted.
The Belgian people are very disappointed in you.
Well, maybe if the Belgian people learned how to make decent chocolate.
What? Now you insult us in our hour of need.
Yeah, no, but you're insulting me saying that you expect me to fly over there, use up all my savings and my very limited resources.
You are a very evil man to do this to us in our most desperate time.
Well, you're aware that it's somebody from Holland. Do you want a cigar and a pancake?
You are being very culturally insensitive, Rob.
Yeah, I believe this is a prank. I don't believe this for
it's
a
not
second.
A prank. You go from all the Belgians, we are going to fart in your general direction now. That is the worst Belgian insult you can make. Hold on. Now I'm going to insult you now for your crude and nasty comments about Belgium.
How dare you?
We think you are a friend of Belgium, but you are an enemy of Belgium. Now,
I'll get my German friends.
This is from all the Belgian people for you.
I'll get all my German friends to invade you again.
Rob, I think he's gone. Yeah. He's off the line.
It seems to me he was more upset about you insulting their chocolate than anything else, really.
I mean, he didn't even mind the rest.
No.
Because Belgian chocolate really is fun, but I just thought that he wasn't somebody trying to prank me.
I understand that you meant well. Even if he didn't. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I can tell that you're a good guy who means to help the people of Belgium. But I'm afraid they don't want your help.
Yeah, no, but I really doubt that they'll fart in my general direction.
They just did. You didn't? Did you hear that, guy?
Yeah, I farted in your general direction.
Yeah, right. All right, Rob. Listen, calm down. You got a big day ahead of you.
Yeah, no. But I hope I haven't severed diplomatic relationships between South Africa and Belgium.
No, I'm sure that diplomatic relations remain very good. But you know what? You tried, and what can we say? It didn't work so well this time.
Yeah. And do you know the Belgian flag is just like the inverse of the German flag? That they can't even get their colors right.
All right. all right.
Okay. That was a good fun call.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rob. You have
thanks,
a lovely day. All right,
thank
my man.
You as well.
There we go. Rob Nicolai, so solving the world's problems.
Trying to, but you know,
one
ambassador
person at
just
a time.
Making it very difficult for you.
That ambassador was not helpful at all this scenario.
A plane ticket? That's all we asked for, really.
He would have been more than happy to come. You heard the guy, right?
Definitely.
Of course. I'm sure Rob will have more solutions for us in the next week or two.
You know, you can keep up with Joseph Jackson on Twitter.
How so?
Joseph5 Jackson is his Twitter account. It's mainly just photos of Michael Jackson, like even a Valentine's Day thing, a montage of Michael saying Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Him with some famous people. How he misses Michael.
So clearly, we all know that Michael was Joseph's favorite, right? Out of the Jackson clan, followed by Janet.
Only because he made him money.
Only because he made him the most money.
He didn't really care about any of his children.
No. Not since they hit puberty, because then, no. You know, the Jackson 5 just didn't look so cute when they were grown men.
No. And then they didn't even look like brothers eventually. You know, there was 4 black ones and 1 white one.
He says, people ask me all the time who will carry on Michael's legacy. There's only one Michael, but his children are precious. I love each of them.
Yeah, and I love the money they're making
exactly. I love them for their settlement.
Oh, it's great. Hey, by the way, did you hear the Anonymous? You know the group Anonymous?
Yes.
Mm. They've decided they've fixed their targets on Donald Trump.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You knew about this?
Yeah.
I'm the only one who didn't.
No, well, Ben told us about it while you were in the U.S.
You want to hear the clip?
Sure, we can hear it again.
Greetings, citizens of the world. We are Anonymous. Regarding our last video, Operation White Rose, we would like to thank all who have supported and joined the movement against the rise of the proposed Fourth Reich by the fascist Donald Trump. Now, also with our last video, we started an experiment, one we Red Cult have risked our credibility on, to prove few points. We announced and we quote, we have attached a gift, of sorts, Trump's social security number, cell phone number and other details that might be able to assist you all in independently investigating this would-be dictator. End of quote. Now we
So they've released his social security number, his telephone number, and a whole lot of other personal details that you can then use to do your investigations on Donald Trump.
It's a cyber war. It's declaring cyber war on Trump, you know.
Don't you remember we had Donald Trump's number? Remember I phoned it once?
And then what happened? What did we get a voice message?
It went to voicemail, yeah. Do you remember, Flex? You found his number?
Yeah, they leaked it online, I remember.
We called it and it goes, hello, this is Donald J. Trump. I'm busy at the moment, but you could leave a message and I might get back to you. Blah, 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 blah.
I wonder how many times he's had to change numbers because of people just...
I'm sure he changes them all the time.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. If I was Melania, I would take my little Slovakian behind and go back and milk goats. If Anonymous is on me, no thank you. No thanks.
Do you think it's more scary to have Anonymous after you or ISIS?
Anonymous.
ISIS, because Anonymous are not going to kill
they're
you.
They're not violent, yeah.
They're not going to take your life.
They are going to mess with your mind so you take your own life. They'll change the aircon in his building. They will mess with him. They'll make his garage door close on him, shit like that.
All right. By the way, there's no news this morning, but I do want to just let you know that Rory Chabalala is here. He's ready to look after you between 9 and 10 this morning on Frankly Speaking, which is going to be awesome. It always is. Very strong show. Very contentious. There's always a lot to talk about when those shows come along. And straight after that, the Renegade Report featuring Chris Hart. So there's quite a lot of discussion and debate this morning. And there's plenty more through the course of the day on cliffcentral.com. All right, you have a good day. We're out of here. We will see you tomorrow. Right, Mubs?
That's right.
Is that yours, Flax?
Yeah, I just got an email.
All right, there we go. Well, can you keep your email quiet for us, please?
The nice thing about doing the morning show, we get all these one-day-only deals. We first to get them.
What do you mean?
So, you know, every morning, like, companies send out one-day-only deals, got 5 left. And since we start at 6 in the morning and no one's up, if anything good comes, I can get it.
So what are you, buying up a storm?
No, not today. But some days I'll get like a PlayStation game for like 200 rand that's selling for like grand in store. Right.
There we go. There's another reason to wake up early, according to Michael Flax. All right, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good day. Cliffcentral.com.